Well, good morning, everybody. Glad you're with us today. Got a little echo. All right. Is that better? All right, we'll do this. All right, how's that? A little bit better? All right, perfect. We've been having some technological problems this morning beforehand, so, and that even sounds a little muffled. But again, we want to welcome you this morning and glad you guys are here. If you're joining us online, we are glad that you're joining us online this morning. And it'll be an exciting time this morning as we'll be having some testimonies from our campers that went to Pocono Plateau. And just some reminders, the Dove for August is out in the back at the Welcome Center and at the Credenza as well. Out as it was with me, and you guys can decide exactly the order you want to go in. Well, I guess here we go. We have Cody first. Yeah. Perfect. All right. Come up here. Say your name and tell them about camp.
My name is Cody.
My favorite part about camp was all the fears I broke. Because going to camp, I thought I'd be really scared because there's stuff I've never done before. I've never done archery or zip lining before. And when we went to camp, I had so much fun because I don't think I've ever had so much fun without, like, electronics or any, like, devices. Because most people think when, like, they're kids, all they need is electronics. But when you go to camp, you don't even think about any electronics or, like, at home at all. And most of the thing at camp that I did was I boated a lot. I went to the thing. I did zip lining for, like, the very first time. And then the things I've never done before that we did was we did night games where it was pitch black outside and you had to find 6 glow sticks. And there was pitch black outside where you had to find a black piece of paper and find somebody with a red piece of paper to turn it in to get a point to play a night game. So it was really fun and really hard over a big, big property. So then after that, we went to bed, and it was, like, really, for the first night, it was really, really hard to sleep because you're just like, oh, I've just been sitting in a car all day. I can't sleep. And then the second night, you went to bed, and you just fell asleep so easy.
All right.
That was the honor.
Hi, I went to Camp Mania in the Poconos. It was really fun. I brought a friend, but I made a bunch more. Just to name a few, Evelyn, Lizzie, and Jules. We did lots of fun activities like the climbing wall, boating, fishing, swimming, pedal carts, and one of my favorites, the Whippets. The Whippet. It was an obstacle course on the water that was so hard to get onto. Lots of things to keep you busy. There was a camp store with yummy treats, cool clothes, and stuffed animals, which were very popular in Camp Mania, so I got one and brought it here. It's an otter. We played fun games during team-building activities. My personal favorite was the helium hoop. You had to put 2 fingers on the hoop and then get it to the ground. It's harder than you think. We had water Olympics. There was a Gaga pit. I was named queen of it, and I rocked it. We did a fun game called Up and Over. You filled a bucket with water from the lake, and then one person passed it over their head, and the other passed it between their legs. The last person dumps it on their head. My bucket had a lot of sand in it, but then I was covered in sand, and I got to jump in the lake to wash off. I had a bunch of fun, and I'm looking forward to going next year.
My experience at camp was that we had a healing service, and I was just sitting there because I was interested in it, and all of a sudden, well, these people are praying for people that have, physical and mental pain. I felt God's hand on my shoulder. And then Friday, we did fellowship, and after that, we had stations around. One of them was the Holy Spirit. And I felt his hand on my shoulder again, and I actually felt peace and surrounding all around me. And I learned new things I have not learned before about God.
So this past year was my fourth year at Pocono Plateau Camp. I've been going since I was in sixth grade. I missed last year, obviously because of COVID. This year was a bit different than the other years, again, because of COVID. I had to sit at the same table every day at lunch. It was a little different. I feel like you didn't meet as many people, but there were only 40 campers there, so it was a lot closer than it had been in previous years. So at camp, it's kind of separated into two separate things. You have the activities, and then you have the more worship-based activities, I guess. So some of my favorite activities were probably zip line. It was my third year doing it. You climb this really scary pole, and they say it's safe. It wobbles a lot in the wind. It was terrifying. But then you have that feeling of free-falling when you jump off and flying through the air, and it's probably one of my favorite feelings in the world. We also have a lot of night games, which, again, are one of my favorite parts of camp, running around in the woods in the dark, trying not to lose your friends or push them in the lake when they anger you. And I really enjoy just the adrenaline rush of trying not to get caught by the spotters, which often doesn't work because the counselors are relentless. You guys are mean. But more on the worship aspect, this year our theme for camp was prayer. Our theme song was called The Blessing, which was actually a combination of different scripture put together so that it made a song. And we had a healing service. I guess you could call them missionaries. Megan and Joey, who came, and they've been to South America before, and they've performed healing services for other people. And they had a healing service, and they were praying for a lot of people, and their pain went away. And during one of them, there was a girl who they were praying she could get her eyesight back because she had glasses, and a hummingbird flew into the room because we had the door open. And one of the counselors Googled it, and hummingbirds symbolize healing. So it was really cool to see that. And then Tyler mentioned the stations. I don't know where Tyler went. I pointed at Cody. But we had this prayer walk with different stations. And again, the Holy Spirit station, you were standing on the waterfront. And the counselor or the missionaries had us hold out our hands like this and stand in a line. And they prayed that we would feel the Holy Spirit. And I kind of wasn't expecting to feel it at first. But then when they prayed for me, I did feel the heat of the Holy Spirit. And it was just really cool to feel him. So.
All right, I don't know how to really follow that up because they told all the good stuff, but I'll give it a shot. So this was my eighth year counseling now at Pocono. It seems like forever ago that Joan asked me to go up, and for 3 or 4 years I kept telling her, no, I don't think I could do it. And then her last year, she's like, you have to go, it's my last year. And so I went, and the rest is history. But this year was a little bit different. It was a little smaller. Camp staff was a little bit, they didn't have quite as many staffers there, so that was an adjustment. I think we were supposed to have 41 kids, 36 actually ended up attending, so it was a smaller group of campers this year as well. But as the kids said, our theme this year was prayer, so we talked a lot about how it... prayer doesn't have to be the these and thous and thou art and all the, it can just be a conversation with God, and that it really is about bringing you in a closer relationship with God. So we really tried to stress that this week. We also talked about not just praying for yourself and your family, but also for your community. And because the world has a sense of divisiveness right now, and we are talking about if there's ever a way that we're going to combat that, it's that if we start praying for the community as a whole to come closer together. So we talked a lot about that. We talked about how you don't have to just pray in the hard times, that you can thank God for a beautiful sunrise or for a nice walk in the park or for the kind of blessings that you get as well. Abby said, our theme song this year was The Blessing by Carrie Jobe, which in itself is basically a prayer. So that was kind of really neat. I had the opportunity to counsel the oldest group this year. I always like counseling the seniors because most of them have been there. This year, our group of seniors had been together pretty much since the beginning of camp. They had just been coming back and coming back. So they know the deal. And by the time they're seniors, they're usually kind of, they know that you get out of it what you put into it. So when it comes to Bible studies, they're more than willing to open up. As we prayed for the campers this year, we start meeting. This year was a little bit later, spring we start, you know, group chats where we start talking about ideas of what we want to do and the activities we want to do. And one of the things that we also start praying at that point for the campers and the counselors and the staff and everything. And one of the things that kept coming back up in those prayers was that because we missed camp last year, that we knew the campers were going to come up with a lot more baggage maybe than they had in the past, because they had basically 2 years of carrying around, and plus COVID happening and all the craziness that went along with that. And so usually Thursday night is when we do our healing worship service, where we allow kids to get up and just, you know, kind of lay it all out there. We spend all week tiring them out, getting them all worn down so that they kind of drop those walls that they build up to protect themselves, and then they just kind of lay it out there. And just hearing the kids get up and share what was bothering them. It happens every time. You hear some really horrible stuff, and but then they pray over each other, and it's just amazing. That's why I keep going back, because I'm sorry. just hearing those kids pray like that. And for my senior group, whenever whoever's giving the message at the worship, the counselors, we all, you know, gather around and we pray with hands on that person. And having done, you know, given those messages, the feeling of everyone's hands on you and when they're praying on you, the Holy Spirit just flows through you. And so we wanted to share that with our campers. So in my group, the 12th grade group, we did that during our Bible studies. We said, you know, let's go around, and anybody who wants hands-on prayer will do it. And just hearing those kids pray, that they got it, you know, they knew it. I have an awesome picture on my phone I can show you. It was just amazing seeing those kids pray for each other. Like Abby said, the healing service, Megan and Joey are amazing. They were campers up there when I first started counseling, and they have now since gone to be missionaries. They've had training on healing. They have some amazing stories of blind people being healed, people in wheelchairs getting up and walking. You don't usually see quite that amount of stuff at camp, but we still had, they prayed over me one time when I had a jammed finger, and by then all week long I couldn't close my fist, and they prayed over me, and then, you know, as soon as they were praying over me, I could close my fist again. And I've experienced that healing. It's kind of amazing. So that's a special experience. Like Abby said, they did the Holy Spirit station, where they invited the Holy Spirit to come on you, and to feel that, it's amazing to watch kids' reactions to that too. I always say, if you experience that, how can you walk away from that having any doubt in your mind? So it's all in all, it's an amazing experience. I love the fishing this year. Was amazing. Cody caught the biggest fish that I saw caught this year, so I have a picture on my phone of that if any of you guys want to see that too. I started 2 years ago bringing up fishing rods, thinking, maybe one or two kids will want to fish. Pretty much every day, all my fishing rods were being used, and I brought 15. So that's a big hit. The kids love the night games and everything, but just to see them take part in the worship and take part in the Bible studies also is just amazing. So also, thank you for the church for sponsoring the kids. I know that helped different kids go that might not have been able to. We want to reach out to St. Paul's too, because they also covered part of the sponsorship for some of the kids as well. So again, thank you guys. It's an amazing experience. If you ever get a chance to try it out, it is exhausting, but it's the best kind of tired you'll ever feel. When I get home from the week of camp, I feel like I could sleep for a day, but I also come home on fire with the Holy Spirit. So if you ever get a chance to try it out, definitely do it, because it's life-changing. So thank you guys.
Made possible because of donations from the impact team of your giving each week as you go and you put change into the little offering bin back there, and that helped send several of our kids to camp this year and help them financially. So we want to thank you for that, and just want to thank you for allowing them to come back and have these memories that they might not have had. So you might not have been at camp, but you did play a part in them going to camp and the experience they had. So thank you very much. This morning, before we do the Lord's Prayer, I just want to kind of share a little bit. I think sometimes we can say things without just kind of realizing what we're saying. So I just kind of want to take a few of the phrases from the Lord's Prayer and just share them with everybody before we actually do that. And we're going to just start out with the very first phrase, "Our Father in Heaven." And what does that mean? It means that God is on the throne. He's ruling, He's seeing, He's all-knowing, all-loving, and He's holding everything together. Hallowed be your name. God is holy. He is King of the universe. He is set apart as Lord of our hearts. Your kingdom come, your will be done. Bring about good plans, God's plan, multiplying God's kingdom in our hearts here on earth, and that we might be used for His purposes. That God's ways are higher and better than ours. That God's ways are eternal in scope and beautiful beyond measure. That we want to do God's will, and let us see how God can be amazed through us. Give us this daily bread, that we pray for provision for today, that God would direct our steps and give us faith and strength to follow Him, that would calm our hearts, for sometimes our needs are so great, and there are too many that we can't meet, and so overwhelming to face alone, that we rely on God. That we are being faithful when we say that God will provide, and the promise of God providing, and know that He knows what we need because we constantly seek after Him and His kingdom. That all these things will be added unto us, that we've been promised provision in Jesus' name, and that those promises will continue forever. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Ask to God to forgive us of being afraid all the time, forgiving about doubting His faithfulness to us. Forgive us for being persistent and being impatient and selfish at times, wiping our heart and minds clean that we might be pure like white as snow, make like Jesus the author and perfecter of our faith, that we might know His great love for us and the forgiveness and grace that He has, and help us to forgive others as well, that we will not hold on to any grudges or judgment of others, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Protect me from going forward, helping us to see our pitfalls and the lies that Satan throws at us, along with the way that God gives the way out, because God is good, and because we follow God, God will make a way out. And Thy kingdom come here on earth as it is in heaven. We're talking about the fact that God's kingdom can live through us. So if you would please stand at this time and let us join together in prayer as we join together in the Lord's Prayer this morning. And I know the slide up here is a little bit different, but we're going to say it the way we know it. So let us join together this morning. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as is in heaven. Forgive us our sins. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For mine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. And God, we come before you now and we give you thanks, God, for teaching us how to pray. We give you thanks for always being there and providing for us and never leaving us or forsaking us. And we've come this morning and we ask that you be pleased with our time of worship now, that our hearts would be given to you and that you be pleased with what we have. Amen. Let us worship together.
Please stand. Oh, you already are. Good. Psalm 145 says, I will exalt you, my God and King. I will praise your name forever and ever. Every day I will praise you and extol your name forever and ever. Great is the Lord and most worthy of praise. His greatness no one can fathom. Please join us as we sing praises to our King.
O Lord my God, when I in awesome wonder consider all thy words thy hands have made, I see the stars, I hear the rolling thunder, thy power throughout the universe display. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee, how great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee, how great thou art. I wander and hear the birds sing sweetly in the trees. When I look down from lofty mountain grandeur and hear the brook and feel the gentle breeze, then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee, how great thou art, how great thou art. Sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee, how great thou art. God his son not sparing sent him to die, I scarce can take it in.
And on the cross
my burden gladly bearing, he bled and died to take away my sin. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee, how great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee, how great thou art. When Christ shall come with shout of acclamation and take me home, what joy shall fill my heart when I shall bow in humble adoration and there proclaim, my God, how great thou art. Then sings
Song. We're going to need a little more music up here. We can't hear it at all. So I apologize if we were off at all. All right, let's go ahead. We're going to sing I Stand Amazed.
I stand amazed in the presence of Jesus the Nazarene, and wonder how he could love me, a sinner condemned unclean. How marvelous, how wonderful, and my song shall ever be. How marvelous, how wonderful is my Savior's love for me.
Here we go.
For me it was in the garden he prayed, not my will but thine. He had no tears for his own griefs, but sweat drops of blood for mine. How marvelous, how wonderful, and my song shall ever be. How marvelous, how wonderful is my Savior's love for me. Sins and my sorrows, and he made them his very own. He bore the burden to Calvary and suffered and died alone. Oh, how marvelous, how wonderful, and my song shall ever be. How marvelous,
Jesus, for your love for us. Your powerful name is so beautiful and wonderful, and we come and adore you and give you, Lord, all the glory.
You were the Word at the beginning, one with God the Lord Most High. Your hidden glory in creation, now revealed in you. beautiful name it is, the name of Jesus Christ, my King. What a beautiful name it is, nothing compares to this. What a beautiful name it is, the name of Jesus. You didn't want heaven without us, so Jesus, you brought heaven down. My sin was great, your love was greater. What could separate us now? What a wonderful name it is. What a wonderful name it is. The name of Jesus Christ, my King. What a wonderful name it is. And nothing compares to this. What a wonderful name.
Adore him.
What a powerful name it is, your name. So powerful. That we come before you, God, right now, and we just ask, God, that you would just
help us to remember that, how
teamwork. We apologize this morning. We're having those technical difficulties. We're not sure exactly what's going on. And Satan's working this morning. He doesn't want us to be here. So he's trying any way he can to disrupt things. But we're not going to let that happen. We're going to continue our sermon series on stories from the Bible. And if you have your Bibles, please turn on Daniel chapter 2. We'll start out there. And I encourage you to bring your Bibles, or you can look in the pew Bibles that are now in the pews, or you can go on your phone to BibleGateway.com for Daniel chapter 2. We'll be bouncing around for Daniel chapter 2, chapter 3, and chapter 6. And I'll be reading the scripture this morning through my sermon, and it'll be behind me as well. In May of 1940, the Allied French and British forces had been badly defeated by Germany in the Battle of France. Around 350,000 men, including the entire British army, were backed up against the seaport of Dunkirk on the coast of France. They were just sitting ducks there. They were outnumbered. They were certain that they were going to be wiped out at any moment. 350,000 men, far too many to evacuate by sea. And the Germans were certain to continue to press their advantage. And German planes continued to bomb and try to disrupt things from the sky. And the British commander of Dunkirk issued a cryptic three-word message to the people of England. And that message was, "But if not." It was a reference to three Hebrews in the book of Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who we'll be looking at this morning as well, who refused to bow down to King Nebuchadnezzar's image, saying, "The God we serve is able to save us, but if not, we will not bow." It was a message of courage, and was a message of defiance against the impossible odds they had. The King of England then issued a call of prayer and a call for help. And as they were doing this, the weather forecast changed and began to ground the German planes because they couldn't take off. And soon, nearly 800 fishing boats, yachts, and merchant vessels joined the Navy ferry so those soldiers could find safety over the course of those tense days. To this day, it's called the Miracle of Dunkirk. It turned out to be a certain annihilation, meaning that they're going to have victims, they're going to be taken by the German army, then turned into victory for reason of hope. It's apparent that the victims of that day were able to fight another day and then became victorious over the German army. It's a story that still inspires the British army and British nation to this day, just like the many stories in the Bible inspire us. They give us a background of where we've been and who we are. They give us our history of our God and how God works through people. And just like that story from Dunkirk that they drew on from Daniel, that we too this morning could draw upon that same hope this morning that those soldiers did during that time of trial. It's because God has a plan for us, and this morning we're going to look at that. The stories in the book of Daniel that we're going to find this morning are ones that are inspiring about God's great salvation that changes us from victims to victors. And this morning, the first thing we can learn before we get into Scripture is this, that I and we can be victorious because there's a God in heaven. That you and I can be victorious because God is in heaven. We think about Daniel, and we know the story of Daniel very well, I'm sure, of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. But I think today, as we look at a little bit more, we're going to find out exactly how they stood during this time of peril. So again, like I said, we're going to go through portions of Daniel chapter 2 and chapter 3 and chapter 6. And going into chapter 2, just to summarize chapter 2, we find that Daniel had become one of Nebuchadnezzar's key advisors. And the king then had a dream, and nobody could interpret that dream, but Daniel did. And Daniel interpreted the dream, and so the king all of a sudden found favor with Daniel. And we find out the fact here that there were people that were happy with that because Daniel was a Hebrew. And we'll find here now as we look at Daniel chapter 2, verses 25 through 28. Arach took Daniel to the king at once and said, "I have found a man among the exiles from Judah who can tell the king what his dream means." The king asked Daniel, also called Belshazzar, that was his Babylonian name, Belshazzar, "Are you able to tell me what I saw in my dream and interpret it?" Daniel replied, "No wise man, no enchanter, magician, or diviner can explain to the king the mystery he has asked us about. But there is a God in heaven who reveals the mysteries. He has shown King Nebuchadnezzar what will happen in the days to come. And just like as Daniel shared that with the king, that we have a God in heaven who will reveal mysteries to us as well. With things we might not understand, that God will reveal those mysteries to us. That God will remind us that we are not stuck in our current circumstances. That God will move us from our current circumstances and give us a hope in some way, shape, and form. That out of those bad times, there is good that can come. It's a mystery. You see, we don't have to just settle for status quo. We don't have to say, well, this is how life is supposed to be. That this is how it's going to be. So we can settle like that and just say, life is just going to be this way no matter what I do. Or we can be like Daniel and say, no, I'm not going to settle for the status quo. Because I believe God in heaven is working on my behalf and that God will reveal his mysteries to me. That we can walk the way Daniel walked and be empowered by God, our Father in heaven, or we can just accept the status quo. You see, Daniel faced that royal decree, basically, and there was a contract put on his life when he decided that he wasn't going to obey the command of Nebuchadnezzar. It looked like an impossible situation for Daniel at that time. It looked like he wasn't going to get out of it, but he continued to pray, continued to seek God, because he knew there was a God in heaven that would take care of him. And maybe you're here today and you think, well, Pastor Tom, my situation is impossible. Pastor Tom, I'm facing a health issue. Pastor Tom, I'm facing X, Y, and Z, and I don't know how I'm going to get out of it. But we're reminded that there is a God in heaven, our God, our Savior in heaven, that will improve things because he's working and showing his mysteries. Daniel's story is our story. Not just because we have a God in heaven that will reveal himself to us the way he revealed himself to Daniel. But we can also learn this morning that we can be victorious because God is able to deliver. We're going to be looking now at Daniel chapter 3 this morning. And we're going to be going to verse 13. And as we go of Daniel chapter 3, remember the image that was made of the golden likeness of the king, and it was probably about 90 some feet tall, about like 9-story building high, and issued a command that everybody must bow down to that image. If they don't, they'll be sentenced to death. And everybody did here except for 3 individuals. And we know these individuals' name, right? Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in chapter 3. And everybody was bowing down these images but these 3 Jews. And we find here in verse 13 of chapter 3. Nebuchadnezzar summoned Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. So these men were brought before the king. And Nebuchadnezzar said to them, "It is a true, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, that you do not serve my gods or worship the image of gold that I have set up? Now when you hear the sound of the horn, flute, zither, lark, harp, pipe, and all other kinds of music, if you are ready to fall down and worship the image I made, very good," he said. "But if you do not worship it, you'll be thrown immediately into the blazing furnace. Then what God will be able to rescue you from my hand?" He's putting a challenge out saying, let's see if your God will deliver. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego replied to him, "King Nebuchadnezzar, we do not need to defend ourselves before you in this or for us to deliver us from it, because God will deliver us from your majesty's hand. But even if he does not, we want you to know, your majesty, that we will not serve your gods or worship the image of the gold you have set up." The Nebuchadnezzar was furious with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and his attitude changed toward them. He ordered the furnace heated 7 times hotter than usual and commanded some of the strongest soldiers in his army to tie up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and throw them into the blazing furnace. And that part's interesting because Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego weren't even a threat. They were just common people in the land. But they are bound by some of the strongest soldiers that Nebuchadnezzar had. Nebuchadnezzar always got scared all of a sudden. When Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego started talking about how God would deliver them, then he got scared. And so he wanted to make sure there was no way out for these individuals from the fiery furnace. So these men, wearing their robes, trousers, turbans, other clothes, were bound and thrown in the blazing furnace. They were thrown in with whatever they had on. The king's command was so urgent, and the furnace was so hot, that those who threw in Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were killed and burned up instantly, while these three men firmly tied fell into the blazing furnace. You see, sometimes we can be like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, that when we're standing up to do the right thing, that sometimes we challenge to bend and to give in to the world. That sometimes we have to take a stand for our faith, and sometimes we have to say, this is what I believe, and I will stand by what I believe, that it can get difficult. Because people will challenge you. People might even call you names. People might even say, well, I don't want to follow that God if that's who that God is. And we face trying times in our lives where our faith is challenged and what we believe is challenged. And when we begin to stand up for what we believe at times because it goes against the world, that things can get difficult, just like it did for Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. That we have to face difficult choices. Are we going to stand firm in our faith? Are we not afraid to tell people that we're Christians and followers of God? Or are we going to kind of just blend in and kind of hope nobody notices us? You see, we have to decide between compromise and conviction. We have to decide whether we're going to compromise what we believe or we're going to stand by our convictions. And God will deliver us the way he delivered Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Now going to verse 24. Then King Nebuchadnezzar leaped to his feet in amazement and asked his advisors, weren't there three men you just threw in there that were tied up in the fire? They replied, certainly, your majesty. He said, look, I see four men walking around the fire, unbound and unharmed, and the fourth, it looks like a son of the gods. Nebuchadnezzar then approached the oncoming blazing furnace and shouted, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, servants of the Most High God, come out, come out. Do you see how all of a sudden his attitude changes? And he recognizes who God is, and he says, come out of there, servants of the one true God. That their conviction actually changed his life because they stood firm in it. So Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego came out of the fire, and they were in the satraps, perfect governors, and royal viruses crowned around them. They saw that the fire had not harmed their bodies, nor was the hair of the head singed. The robes were not scorched, and there was no smell of fire on them. Now, I don't know about you, but if you're around a fire, there's at least a smell of smoke. I know when my boys come back from Friday nights and go into Cornerstone Youth Center and they have a campfire, that I can smell them when they get in the car because of the smoke on them. And I love the smell of campfire, but you can't be in a fire and not have any smell attached to you from smoke. And it says here that their clothes and nothing about them even smelled like they were in a fire. And then Nebuchadnezzar said, praise be to God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who has sent his angel and rescued his servants. They trusted in him and defied the king's command and were willing to give up their lives rather than serve or worship any god except their own. Then the king promoted Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the province of Babylon. Now, like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, we know that God can rescue us, but it doesn't mean that we're not going to go through pain or suffering or trials in our life. It doesn't mean that God's going to take the pain away from us. It doesn't mean that God's going to say you're not going to go through trials or tribulations. But what we do know is that God will get us through those tough times. That God will get us through that pain and that suffering and those trials. That God will rescue us the way he did with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. But he never says that I will take the pain and the trials away. Psalm 34:17 says, the righteous cry out and the Lord hears them and he delivers them from all their troubles. That if we call out to God, we say, God, restore me. It says that God will restore us and hear our troubles. Another place in the Psalms, it says that, well, God got me out of a tough situation. That as we're reading the psalmist, he's saying, I called out to God and God got me out of that tough situation. The Psalms is full of stories of how God rescued individuals and how God redeemed individuals because he's a God that rescues. Remember the fact here of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego on their faith when he said, our God is able to deliver us, but if not, we will not bow down to an idol. They were ready to die for their faith. They were ready to do whatever it took. they weren't like, well, we think God might provide. We're not sure. Well, I'm not really sure, but we're going to see what happens here. No, they had the same faith that Abraham had when Abraham put Isaac on the altar and he said to his servants, and we, Abraham and Isaac, will return. That Abraham had faith that God would provide for that sacrifice, and he did. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego have the same faith here, saying, and we believe that God will provide. Do we believe that in our faith? Do we have that same kind of faith that we believe that God will provide no matter what? Do we have that faith that God will deliver us? That trusting in God the way they did, that God will save us. That God delivered Noah and his family from the flood. He gave a whole nation freedom from Egypt and allowed them to cross into the promised land, which we talked about last week with Jericho. That through all the times that they were oppressed by the Philistines, that God delivered them. That God is here to deliver us today the same way that he delivered Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the people of Israel. He's able to do things that we cannot do for ourselves. He's able to do things in our lives, in our church, that we can't even imagine if we claim and cling to the promise that God will deliver and that God will provide a way. And the third thing we can say is that we can be victorious because my God sent. Years after Nebuchadnezzar's Babylon had been conquered, there was a new king, and Daniel was still there in Babylon. He was still serving in the royal courts with this new king, and other court officials really didn't like Daniel, and they didn't like the fact that he had to influence the government stances and had the king's ear, and they didn't like the fact that he was gaining more influence, so they plotted against Daniel. And they convinced the king, whose name was Darius at this time, to proclaim a 30-day period in which no one could pray to anyone but the king. So for 30 days, you cannot pray to anybody but the king. That'd be like saying, well, you cannot pray to anybody but the President of the United States. And if you don't pray to the President of the United States every single day, then there'll be consequences. And we find here that 30 days went by, and we know what happened, that Daniel only prayed to his God. He went before the windows. He wasn't ashamed to go and pray where everybody could see him, that he never bowed down and prayed to the king. He only prayed to God, and he was not afraid to show that. He was not afraid to show his faith and belief. And they figured out, well, as Daniel prayed three times daily, then he defied the king's creed. And as a punishment, we know here in Daniel chapter 6 that he was thrown into the den of lions. Now, I don't know about you, but if you've ever been to the zoo, lions aren't very friendly. They just kind of stare at you like you're fresh meat, and they hoping you're climbing over the fence so they can get to you. The lions is not a type of animal you go up to and say, nice kitty, how are you doing? You don't pet lions. You don't play catch with lions. You don't throw a ball. You don't do any of those things. You don't feed lions like we feed cats, because lions are animals that will rip us apart. And so as a result, Daniel was thrown into that den of lions overnight. It was like that fresh meat being thrown to him. And the lions were just kind of licking their chops going, boy, dinner is going to be good tonight, folks. We go to Daniel chapter 6, verses 19 through 23. At the first light of dawn, the king got up and hurried to the lion's den. When he came near the den, he called to Daniel in an anguished voice, Daniel, servant of the living God, has your God, whom you serve continually, been able to rescue you from the lions? Daniel answered, my king, live forever. Now answer here. Because Daniel doesn't go, hey, I told you so. But he respects the king. Even after the king did this to him, he still shows respect to the king. And he says, may the king live forever, showing the king respect. He said, God sent his angel and shut the mouths of the lions. They have not hurt me because I was found innocent in his sight. Nor have I ever done anything wrong before you, king. The king was overjoyed and gave orders to lift Daniel out of the den. And when Daniel was lifted from the den, no wound was found on him because he trusted in his God. Interesting. I wonder what that sight was like when he called down to Daniel. It was like Daniel, like, you know, laying on one of the lions as a soft pillow. Was he like petting them? Were they purring when the king came to him and said, "Hey, Daniel, you're still alive"? You know, I kind of wonder what the lions were like. You know, were they just kind of like sitting there, and were they happy, and were they purring, and were they letting Daniel just kind of lay on him and pet him? Because it says that nothing happened to Daniel, not even a bite. Nothing happened. The lions settled down because, again, the angel of the Lord came to him. In verse 22, it says again, "My God sent his angel to shut the mouth of the lion." How many times do we face lions in our lives? How many times do we face individuals or circumstances or whatever it might be in our lives that we pray out to God and we say, "God, can you help me in this circumstance?" And what does God do? He comes down and he delivers us. That he protects us. That God sends his angel the same way he did for Daniel. And Daniel was saved because, why? Because God sent someone. Because God sent someone. You know, when we're facing those trials and tribulations in our lives, we can have the faith that God will send someone. Maybe it's a Holy Spirit giving us more comfort. Maybe it's an individual that encourages us. Maybe it's an individual who prayed for us. Whatever it might be, that God will send somebody to help us through our trials. And so many times we might overlook who that is because we're expecting God to show us this great and mighty thing and say, "God, well, deliver me and show me some fireworks, show me some lightning, show me some thunder. Just give me a sign, God, that this is from you." And so many times we miss the fact that God has sent that individual that has come alongside and put their hand on our shoulder saying, "I'm praying for you, I'm thinking about you." That God has sent the Holy Spirit to work through us so that we're able to be delivered. Then we look at God sending somebody, that he sent Jesus so that we could be redeemed. He sent Jesus so that we could be overcomers. He sent Jesus in our lives so that you and I could be victorious. That you and I could be victorious over temptation and sin because our God sent Jesus. That we can be victorious over shame and guilt because our God sent Jesus. That we can be victorious over death and the devil because our God sent Jesus. And we can be victorious over the evil and the things of this world because our God sent Jesus. And we can be victorious too, just like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and Daniel. You see, it starts with us realizing that we need God to deliver us. That we need to realize that we can't do it on our own. That we need that salvation from all of our sin, our guilt, all the death of things, from salvation from the devil whispering things in our ear. Claiming what Jesus did on the cross for us. When he said, "It's finished, it's over, I did this for you." And taking charge, allowing him to control our life. And when we do that, we're no longer victors. We're more than conquerors through Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. That God finds no fault with us, just like he found no fault with Daniel in the lion's den. So when it comes this morning to being victors and going from victims to victors, that we have to live in constant awareness each and every single day of the fact that God will provide, that God has sent his Son for us, that we need to be constantly aware of what God is doing in our lives. And when we're facing those threats, we're facing those trials, we're facing those difficult times, that we need to be aware that God will deliver us. That when we feel like Satan is like that lion that's stalking us, that we can remember that God will deliver us, to give us the grace each day to be more than conquerors to him. But that can only happen if we're investing in a relationship with him. It can only happen if we claim the promises of God the way that Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and Daniel did. It can only happen if we truly believe when we say that our God will provide. Because if we go in half-hearted and we say, "Well, I think my God will provide, I'm not sure. Maybe. We'll see." Or we go in and we say, our God will provide. When we pray, do we pray with authority? Or we pray, God, I hope you'll hear my prayer, and I hope that you'll answer my prayer, and I hope that maybe, God, that you'll see fit to kind of, you know, intervene in this situation. Or do we go before God boldly, like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and Daniel, and say, God, here's my prayer. I know you hear my prayer. I know you'll answer my prayer. Do we go boldly before God in his throne room, or are we going kind of like timid and shy? Well, God, I know I can come before you, but I'm just a little shy, God, and I'm not really sure, and I hope you'll do this. Or are we going and saying, we know you will provide, we know you'll send a way, you know that you'll be there for us, God, and we claim your promises that you will save us. That's the story of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and Daniel. That's the story of us moving from victims and living in the woes me to becoming victors through Jesus Christ and claiming his word and claiming his promises with authority. Because scripture says all authority in heaven and earth has been given to all of us the same way it was given to Jesus and to the disciples. But we have to claim it. And so this morning, as we close our story together, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and Daniel, do we claim that same authority and power they did? Or are we just kind of like, well, I'm not quite sure. Because if we're in the well, I'm not quite sure, we will never have victory over Satan or never have victory over anything in this life unless we claim the authority and power and come before God's throne boldly and say, God, I believe. God, I trust you. God, you will provide. And Lord, we come before you now. We thank you for the reminder of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and Daniel. And we pray that each and every day of our lives that we will claim the promise of knowing that you have sent your Son, that you have redeemed us, and that you will provide for us. And as we conclude our time together in worship this morning, help us to boldly go before your throne. Help us to boldly hold true to our convictions and help us to be the disciples that you want us to be as we go into our community to transform people's lives, not by anything we can do, but only what you can do. As we saw how Daniel and Shadrach and Meshach and Abednego transformed the lives of Nebuchadnezzar and Darius by saying, wow, your God is awesome. Your God's amazing. Help us to have that same impact on individuals in our community. In your name we pray, amen.
Please stand as we sing the song Living Hope, that he is the one, Jesus is the one that sets us free. Spoken, I am forgiven, the peace.
has no claim on me. Then came the morning. Then came the morning that sealed the promise. Your very body began to breathe. Out of the silence, the roaring lion declared, the grave has no claim on me. Jesus, yours is the victory.
God, you are a living hope, and we give you thanks for that. At the end of the service, I'll be up front here if anybody would like to come up for some prayer, and I'll be more than happy to pray with you. If you're online watching with us, if you just have a prayer request and you want to comment into the comment section, or you can Facebook message us, and we'll be more than happy to pray for any prayer concerns you might have for those that might be at home watching. And so as we come this morning and we begin to head into our week, let us be reminded that Christ is our living hope. That God is victorious and that God will provide, no matter even how bad the situation might be, that God will get us through it. And so this morning, may you receive the peace and grace of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. As we go back into this world, may we claim the victory and the confidence that our God is a God in heaven who will make a way when there is no way. Amen and amen. Have a wonderful week. We'll see you next week, and I'll be up front here if anybody wants to come up for prayer this morning. God bless.